I learned something this week that I never knew, and it has to do with the word Wilson on a football. I always assumed that the word Wilson was simply advertising for the maker of the football. But it turns out that for a punter, the word Wilson has a particular significance. Because for a punter, when he gets ready to punt the ball, he has to direct his eyes at the dot over the eye in Wilson. And if he looks at exactly at that dot and swings his leg up, his leg, if he does it right, will connect directly underneath the dot on the other side of the ball. And if it does, then the ball will spiral and it will come down in such a way that it will be a great punt and it'll help his team. Now, that would be a hard thing to practice in your backyard, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be tough, but imagine what it's like in the midst of an NFL game for a punter. I mean, to begin with, he's got thousands of people in the stands, all screaming and yelling. Some of them may be his friends, waving to him and saying, "Johnny!" And some of them cheering, and some of them booing, and some of them saying, "Get that guy," you know. And then you've got the fact that when he goes into a game, necessarily his team is in trouble. Punters never go in the game if the game is going well. So when he comes into the game, he's in trouble. And then there's the defensive guys, these 345-pound Neanderthal thugs that are kept in cages during the week and poked with sharp sticks. I mean, they come to the line, and they're snorting, and their eyes are all red, and they're growling, and they're pawing the ground like wild horses, and they're shouting murderous threats. And when the ball is snapped, they're coming down, and they're slobbering strands of ropey, bloody saliva and stomach juices, and they want to knock the block off the punter, right? Oh, no, I know, they're not supposed to touch him. But if they can touch the ball, then they can touch the punter. And if they touch the punter, it's good night, Irene. And in the midst of all that, the punter has to block out all that noise. He's got to focus because he doesn't know when the snap comes. And when it comes, he's got to do the right thing. He's got to look at the dot on the top of Wilson. He's got to swing his leg up. He's got to get the punt off. So the coach for punters, among other things, teaches them three important skills. One is to have the right focus and not pay attention to what's going on in the stands and the defensive team. He says, "You let me worry about the defensive guys. You just pay attention to what you're supposed to be paying." And that's the second thing, to have the right attitude of readiness. His knees need to be bent, his arms by the side so they can come up and get the snap when it comes. And then he's taking the right action. Those three things are essential for a punter. It also happened to be essential for a disciple or a follower of Jesus. We remember that Jesus told his disciples not to worry about the cheering and the booing in the stands and the threats from the defensive players. He said, "Don't worry about this world, what you shall eat, what you shall wear, what you shall put on." You know, life is more than clothes and life is more than eating. And he says in 35, "Don't worry, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." And the first skill set for the disciple of Christ is blocking out the things that seem so terrifying and attractive in the world, and instead thinking in terms of kingdom mindset, where the punter is thinking in terms of the outcome of the game, the follower of Jesus is thinking the mindset of the kingdom. And then Jesus goes on to say, to teach his disciples to have an attitude of readiness and actions of obedience. If you're looking in a Bible that has the red letters of Jesus, you'll notice that when he finishes this business about not worrying about the world, he's not done. There is a black word, but that's inserted later. He just keeps talking about be dressed in verse 35 and ready for service. And keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, he can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus didn't use a football metaphor. He used a parable about servants. In those days, anybody of means had servants. It's part of how the poor in their culture were taken care of. And most people had of any kind of means had lots of servants. And one of the jobs of those servants was to make the house ready for when the master got back, for wherever he was traveling. Now, you know, if you go to a long wedding and a wedding reception, when you come back home, how do you feel? If you're like me, your feet hurt, you know, and your suit feels too tight, and you're exhausted, and there's been too much smiling. And you're just ready to come in and flop down. It'd be nice if somebody opened the door for you and just, you know, adjusted the recliner and brought you some lemonade and took your shoes off and put on the game. That's the job of the servant in Jesus' day, to welcome the master home like that. And then in Jesus' day, those wedding receptions went on for as long as a week. And so it was even more and more important that they would be ready. And they wouldn't know exactly when he was coming. And they needed to be ready to have the lamps burning. He said, be dressed. In the original language, it says, gird your loins. Which, you know, you've seen Bible movies, right? You know, those droopy outfits and stuff. If you're going to be working, you need to pull those things up and wrap them around a little bit, so that you can run or walk fast or do stuff. And that's called girding your loins. In our parlance, is put your work clothes on. Stay alert. Be ready. Watch the door. Look out. And really, being ready is the difference between good service and bad service, isn't it? I mean, we don't have servants in our day and age, most of us. But you've been to places that serve you. Been to a theme park or a hotel or a restaurant. It's probably the most common example. And in some of restaurants, you get good service. In some restaurants, you get bad service. And the difference between good service and bad service is readiness, which means an alertness, an anticipation that you'll be coming, an anticipation of what you will need. A good service place, the waiter or someone will show up just as you're about to finish your water and they'll have more. You know what I'm talking about. And Jesus says his disciples are expected to live with readiness for his second coming. In other words, everything about our life in this waiting period between the time when he ascended to heaven and the time he comes back, everything about our life in the meantime is to be lived with an attitude of readiness for his second coming. So that everything we do in our life, everything we think, everything we do, you know, everything we decide, the whole flow of our life is saturated with or colored by the awareness that at any moment, pop, Jesus could come back. And you live in such a way that that would be a great thing. You know, maybe you're raking the yard, or maybe you're training a new employee, or maybe you're preparing macaroni and cheese, or maybe you're singing in the choir, or whatever it is, and Jesus could come, and that would be a good thing because you're ready. And Jesus says, it will be good if you're ready.